Welcome to The Church Planter's Life, a podcast exploring the possibilities and pain of starting a missional incarnational church. This podcast is a resource of the V3 movement. V3 is a grassroots training organization for men and women planters around the country. Thanks for tuning in as our host Matt Alexander leads the conversation.
Rose, what's happening in San Diego?
Hey Matt, I'm doing well. Yeah, it's a bit cold here.
57 degrees.
Yeah.
So cold.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Yeah.
But it's good to be here with you today.
Yeah, excited to talk with you. So tell us a little bit about San Diego for someone who doesn't, let's pretend like no one knows about San Diego culture or background, or if I didn't know anything about it, how would you describe it? What are some interesting aspects to the city and particularly the neighborhood that you're a part of,
that
you live in and are in San Diego?
Yeah. So San Diego is about 2 hours south of LA in Southern California, and it's just above the border into Mexico, and it's a beautiful, beautiful city. I've been here for about 5 years, moved from Australia to here 5 years ago, and it's just a really fun, laid back, surfy, beachside city. It was a really easy transition for us moving from Australia to here because the culture's fairly similar. It's just a fun place to be and sunny all of the time, really beautiful weather. My husband and I live in a beachside neighborhood within San Diego. So we live in a town called La Jolla, which is just about 20 minutes north of downtown San Diego. And we live in this beautiful neighborhood, quite a well-off community. So right near the beach, beautiful houses and architecture and restaurants and art galleries and beautiful stuff. It's a gorgeous, I feel extremely blessed to live where I live.
Yeah. And how did you guys wind up in San Diego originally? So maybe tell us a little bit about that, how you got there originally. And then how did you kind of discern a call to start kind of this missional incarnational expression of the church in your place?
Yeah. So my husband and I felt like God was calling us to move to the States in 2013. We'd been here on a vacation in 2011 and just loved it. And we went home thinking, oh, maybe one day we'll move to the States. That would be so much fun. And then there was just a clear moment where we both knew that the Lord was saying, I want you to move there. And so we started pursuing moving over. And as we were praying about where to go, I just got this vision of the ocean with these sheer cliffs and white buildings with red tiled roofs. And I, for some reason, I just knew that that was San Diego. And no joke, we got here and there's like sheer cliffs, there's these beautiful Spanish villas, white buildings with red tiled roofs. It was just this uncanny experience to find ourselves here in San Diego. So that's how we got here. And then moving to La Jolla was kind of, again, a God-ordained thing that we weren't anticipating. We were living somewhere else and our lease was coming to an end, and some friends of ours were moving out of their house in this neighborhood in La Jolla, and they said, oh, we're moving. Do you know of anyone who would like to move into our house? We would like to help our landlords find new renters. And my husband and I were like, yeah, we'd love to. Let's do it. So we moved in there, but we'd originally been looking at another neighborhood, and I particularly wanted to plant in another neighborhood. And I also felt really passionate about living where I was planting. I didn't want to live in a neighborhood but be doing ministry in another neighborhood that felt like a huge disconnection for me. And so I kept saying to my husband, no, we need to, like, this is really fun, but we need to move into this other neighborhood. And my husband was like, no, I love it here. Like, I'm not moving. I'm settled. And so I came to the Lord with that. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, I have you right where I want you to be. And so that was how I kind of settled into being in that neighborhood, in being in La Jolla, and just trusting that he'd actually moved us into that place before we had ever realized our purpose there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So it was a bit of a wrestle. Mm. It wasn't your original. Yeah.
And it wasn't my original idea because it's a very well-off neighborhood. People make a lot of money there. They have beautiful houses. I find myself struggling with the hedonism, if that's the right word, of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And struggling to see why does God need me there? But the more I've spent time there, the more I've realized that there is brokenness there, and there is like God still does want to bring his kingdom into that place, and he is bringing his kingdom into that place, and he's inviting us to partner with him in that, which is exciting and an honor.
I think just going off the notes here for a minute, but I think probably oftentimes it's easy for us to equate people who seem to have kind of achieved the American dream with the kingdom of God. Like, what else?
Oh my gosh, totally.
What else is there to, like, what's the need here? Like, there's not an obvious need. And that's a real, you know, we have to kind of have a more robust understanding of the kingdom that doesn't equate to American success or Western ideals or whatever. So yeah, that sounds like a great wrestle for you to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's good stuff. So tell us a little bit about, in V3, we kind of use this language of these two contrasts of church as movement versus church as kind of the industrial complex, and seeing and understanding that in maybe a simple way to think about it could be just like seeing the church as a movemental organism that's fluid, that's very people oriented, and is focused on moving into new places, new pockets of people groups. It's very nimble. It's raw. It's focused on simple multiplication, that kind of stuff. Whereas church's industrial complex has kind of been more of the approach to church that the West in particular has really embraced over the past 200, 300 years in the United States and Europe, much longer than that. And where it's really focused a lot of times around having a lot of resources around a building, oftentimes around kind of program driven, affinity driven type of stuff. And it's not really focused on reaching new people. It's more oftentimes focused, this is a stereotype, but more oftentimes focused around kind of retaining people that you already have. And so I know those things those are stereotypes a bit, and they are too simplistic, but talk about how you see those two dynamics at work in San Diego, or kind of in maybe Southern California, in your place, and what is it, how are you, don't expect to have it all worked out or anything, but how are you wrestling through, what does it mean for us to have a little bit more of a fluid, more of a grassroots kind of movemental kind of ethos to what we're doing, that's more focused on relational connections and moving into places that the church maybe hasn't moved into in the past, and kind of having that versus rather we're trying to kind of like build this really solid, heavily resourced type of thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the established church, and And I found myself, even as a teenager, thinking like, why are we doing church like it's done? When I look at the book of Acts and I just see them like living in community together and doing life together, and it is very relationship based. And I just thought, wow, imagine if we did church like that. So that's definitely been for me a kind of driving force behind my own discovery around movemental church. And I think, you know, the established church is here in San Diego for sure, but there are, I love hearing about these neighborhoods where people are seeking to be this more fluid movement that's about relationship building. And for me, my husband, we've really been focusing on being present in our neighborhood. So we have parties. We try and have a Christmas party every year. The first year we had a Christmas party, we wrote I handwrite our invitations because I just like that type. It's a lot of work. I really should start printing things out. We did that. We gave out like everyone on our street an invitation, and it was so it was great. Like we're like, yay, two people came, but they're also very discouraging that only two people came. Yeah. But just that continued presence and offering those spaces and hospitality in our house has been one of the things that we have been doing to build a relationship and to get to know our neighbors. We also found a local bar. We have restaurants right down the street from us. So we have this local bar that we were going there every week. I think we went there every week for like a year and got to know so many of our neighbors just through that. And we found that there was just a lot of relationship building through that, that time. And we found our life season has changed a little bit. So again, the fluidness of, okay, going to the bar every week doesn't work anymore now. So what are the new ways that we can be present in the neighborhood? Yeah. But for us, that's really been crucial, is this, how do we just foster relationships with the people around us? And it starts with shallow conversation. And I'm not great with shallow conversation. Like, I want to get into the nitty gritty of real stuff straight away. I'm a little bit impatient like that, but as you're spending more and more time with people and you're just being true about who you are and what you're about, I've been very open and honest about me wanting to plant a missional community in our neighborhood and see the gospel. Not that it's not, I don't want to say brought into the neighborhood because it's already there. It's already at work, but just partner with God in that. Yes. And as I'm just being who I am, the conversations that come out of that are beautiful. I've been on walks with neighbors and we've just ended up having these hour and a half long conversations about spirituality and Jesus. And, it's just really fun and beautiful. And it's so much more about doing life together than the programs, like rather than turn up to this thing and we will tell you about Jesus in this way. It's just so much more natural and relatable, and I find it extremely exciting.
What has been you started to talk a little bit about some of the kind of the personal rhythms of how you and your husband are seeking to be present kind of in your place, you know, being present at the bar, regularly getting to know people in a space where there's already people coming together to hang out and connect, having parties, stuff like that. Talk to us a little bit about kind of where you are at and where the missional community is right now, some of the rhythms that you guys have together. Like, what does it look like? How are you guys practicing your faith, practicing following Jesus together when you gather, when you scatter? How do you guys kind of work some of those things out right now?
Totally. So we started a missional community in February of last year, and
so it's you're about a year.
It was old. A beautiful failure. If a year ago, yeah. Yeah, I would call it a beautiful failure. We started gathering around our table each week, and we would have a meal together, and it was a number of believers from some established churches in San Diego that I had built relationships with, and then it was also some unbelieving neighbors from the community that we live in. And so but everyone was from our neighborhood. Everyone was from La Jolla. And we were gathering each week, and we would have a meal together, which was beautiful. And then we would explore who Jesus was. And we actually started by going through the seven signs of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Yeah. And exploring who he said he was through those signs. And it was great. And we had wonderful conversation, and we would gather there, and then we would scatter during the week, and we would my hope for them all was that we would start to engage our immediate neighbors, and that was a lot of our conversation, was how do we be present in the neighborhood, how do we build relationships with people, how do we be intentional about being God's presence in where we live. But there were a number of things that just led to it not taking root and gaining the traction that I think one of them was, quite honestly, that I totally missed, as we're going through the V3 training and going through the church's movement, one of the things I missed was the need for the discipleship call. Mm. Even though it was in there all the time, we were always talking about it, but I think I put so much pressure on myself to start something, to look like I was being fruitful, that I kind of didn't think through I didn't think through what it would mean to not have a discipleship core who would help, who was catching, who was really bought it and was catching the idea for themselves, and they were living it out, and we were growing in that together and helping me lead. I felt like I was pushing this thing by myself. And eventually I just got totally exhausted, quite honestly. And I'd also started at the same time that I was in my final year of seminary. I was, as a part of my final year of seminary, I had to do an internship with an established church here in San Diego. I was also helping another group of friends plant their church. So it was just this crazy mess of things all happening at the same time. And because I didn't understand the deep need for the discipleship call, I just burnt out. And so we brought that group to an end in July of last year. My deep hope and prayer is that it's not to an end permanently, but that we will relaunch. But I'm just waiting. I'm honestly in a space of waiting on God for people to be doing it with me.
Yeah.
To have that discipleship call to journey with. So right now, actually, what I'm doing in the established church that my husband and I are still connected to, we had a bunch of people, because I often preach at this church, and we had a bunch of people coming along saying, I really like what you're talking about building relationships in the neighborhood and Christ-centered, meaningful community in the place that you live. We want to do that too. So right now I'm going through a process of training people to do that in their own neighborhoods. but we're not focusing on it as a missional community church plant, but rather how do we just be that faithful presence? I'm totally stealing that term from David Fitch.
Yeah.
And share the love of Christ with our neighbors. Yeah.
David Fitch has done his, Fitch has done his fair share of stealing, you know, in his time. So don't worry about that.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, that's good. Hey, what would you say? That's all really good stuff, Rose. What's been one of the biggest sources of joy for you so far in the journey? And what's been a story or a source of pain or struggle?
So one of my stories of joy would, he does things slowly. We always want these quick kind of experiences of seeing his love and his power just kind of break in and boom, it's done. But one of my greatest joys has been watching one of my neighbors come to know Jesus. And she was the one of the only people who turned up to our very first Christmas party before I connected with her again, and we had Jesus and spirituality and her journey, and then we started connecting and reading the Bible together every couple of weeks. And it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks in that she gave her life to Christ, which was really super exciting. So that was like a year-long journey in and of itself. But then once she gave her life to Christ, the culture shock of what she'd done kind of settled in. Have you ever experienced that when you see someone come to know Jesus and then they're just like, oh my gosh, what have I done?
Sure.
And you could see that happening in her. And so again, just kind of, I've had to learn over this journey of missional community planting is that God's already at work, and I am not the one that is responsible for seeing his kingdom come. Like, I'm here to partner with him, but I don't have to hold the burden of, oh gosh, this person, like, she's having a culture shock now, and so she's kind of disappeared. For me, that was like, okay, God, you're doing something here, and I'm just going to let it happen. And then I just kept reaching out and connecting with her, and then we've been catching up, and she's asking questions again. She's asking, like, what is sin, and what's the point of the story of Adam and Eve, and why do we need Jesus? So she's like, I can still see we're having the same conversations that we were having before, but there's greater depth. And for me, it's just super exciting to see how God is at work in all of this. And I just come in at I'm invited to come in at certain times and have a conversation and encourage her and share Jesus with her, and then God continues to be at work. And that has been one of a huge joy for me to see that story, but also to be released from the burden of I've got to do all of the stuff that actually is the Holy Spirit's job. So that's exciting for me to know that he's at work in my neighbors, that he's drawing them to himself. And I get the privilege of coming in and being a part of it at the right time in the right moment. I think one of the biggest struggles for me, which is kind of the flip side of the coin here, is I struggle with letting it be God's vision and letting it be God's church. in the sense that I've been reading Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer recently, and one of the things he says is that God hates visionary dreaming. And it's like quite offensive to read that. But his point is that when we have a vision of what we want church and community to look like, we expect ourselves and the community around us and God to give us the vision of what we want. We wish it to be like this. And then when it doesn't come about in that way, we can get frustrated and angry with everyone, including ourselves and including God. And his point is the community that we have is the community that God's given us, and that we should cherish and be thankful for what God has given us and allow that to unfold in God's timing, not in ours. And I think one of the biggest struggles for me has been recognizing my tendency to wishfully dream for what I want the community to be, rather than being present and grateful and thankful for what God has put me, who God has put me amongst, and just allowing that to be what it is, rather than trying to force something into existence that God doesn't want in existence. He has something more beautiful and better, and if I can just be allow myself to be a part of that rather than trying to create something that I want. Does that make sense?
Very much so. Well, hey, I'm gonna kind of wind it up for us a little bit. Thanks again for being on and sharing and dialoguing and doing some storytelling with us today. If people wanted to stay connected to you and what you guys are up to in your neighborhood, how could they do that? Are you on Twitter or on Instagram or anything like that, where people
could? I'm on Instagram. Probably the best way to connect with me is I have a blog called rosemails.com. Maybe you can just put a link in the in the podcast notes. Rosemails.com, and then you can connect to my Twitter and my Instagram through that.
Cool. Great. Thanks again for hanging out with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's been really fun.
We hope you discovered something meaningful in this podcast for your church planting journey. To connect with our training, tribe, and tools, go to thev3movement.org.